chosen one.
Hour four of J. Martin Ramon on 104.5. The Zone continues. Rhett Bryan filling in for Jason Martin, the new dad in the family here. And I'm still joined by his co-host, Ramon Foster, VFL, and the other VFL, Ron Slay, at RonSlay35 on Twitter. Yes, sir. The Boom Boom Room is in the house. That's and the you know who else we have in the house, fellas? This is a great way to finish up the fourth hour in this thing. WWE and TNA Hall of Famer.
Man.
One of my favorite people in the whole world, Jeff Jarrett, who has some news he wants to drop with us. But, you know, Ramon and I were talking about this, Jeff. Earlier this morning, and your grandmother, Miss Christine Teeny, she started all that stuff in Memphis, and that was appointment television on Saturday mornings in my house. Never ever forget all of those great matches with all those great stars, and so I get nostalgic when I start thinking about Jeff Jarrett and the Jarrett family.
Well, good morning, guys. I appreciate that, man. What a way to kick off this interview to talk. Give my grandmother a shout-out. Yes, in 1946 in downtown Nashville, she walked into a shoe store and took a second job selling wrestling tickets. And that's still amazing to me that she made it in a man's world in the 50s and 60s. You know, it's much, much more commonplace today. But back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, her stepping into specifically the professional wrestling, and even back in those days, maybe it was the wrestling business.
Right.
Man, yeah, she did it, and she was, you know, got my dad as a kid hung around wrestling matches, and then he promoted, wrestled, and I got to follow. So third generation, and here we are today. And no disrespect, Ramon and Rhett, at all. You know, I'm a football fan, type fan, but man, me and Slay got to talk hoops. I mean, I don't get this opportunity.
There it is.
I told you.
I don't get this opportunity. I mean, football's okay, but I'm a basketball guy through and through. So, Ron.
Did
Baylor jump all over them boys in the final?
Hey, man. I'm talking about went at their neck. Do you hear me? Double J, I was just telling Rhett and Ramon.
He was.
I said, man, when I was younger, I walked into Aquinas to play pickup, Aquinas Junior College, and I looked on the wall and was like, man, that looked like Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
And they said, that is. I said, wait a minute, man. Not the wrestler. I'm talking about the gold locks flowing and everything. Double J, man, we go in the game of horse, man. Where you taking me to for the first shot? That's what I need to know.
I love it.
Oh, me? I just play mind games with you. Look, in my industry over the last 30 years, I'm not the biggest, I'm not the smartest, maybe the best looking, but I'm certainly not the strongest. But I'm going to go straight for the head game, and I'll go with a simple free throw and then just talk to you the entire time.
cerebral assassin right here, Jeff Jarrett.
I love it. Jeff,
you won't love it when you miss that shot for E, and I ain't got nothing on the
be sick. I'd be over there hunched over sick, holding my stomach.
Just to back up, Ron walked in here, okay, just as he's just stepping in, just chilling out with us, okay? And he was like, I'm looking forward to this conversation with Jeff Jarrett. He was like, I want to talk ball. So as he said, I just want to hand him the floor and listen to this conversation right here, right?
And Jeff, you know, he was a heck of a ball player at Good Pasture.
Yeah, I heard so much about you, man. I'm going to be honest, man. What do you
get
think?
Out of here.
What do you think about what these Vols are? What do you think about that?
You know, look, and you know, and Ron, you know as well over the years that we've had our ups and downs and up on the hill. My little brother and little sister both graduated from up there. So I love Rick Barnes. But something just, I don't say not clicking, but you know team chemistry. And look, today's athlete, a lot of times I can't relate to the mentality. And I'm saying that out of all due respect. I've got five kids, and it's a generational thing. Mm-hmm. And look, my daughter, I was just out at Hooptown last night. She's in the Pride program. It's just a different world and a different mentality, but I'll be a ball supporter through and through. I'll just say that.
Hey, I'm right there with you, man. Mm-hmm. And I think we all share those same sentiments, especially when it gets to that late February, March time, and you don't just quite get it to click. it becomes a problem, man. And you look and see, where's the leadership? And that's my whole point, man.
Yeah.
The leadership outside of what Coach Barnes is doing, I think a lot of it falls on the players that's coming in. And like you said, it's a different generational player that's out there right now. When we were playing back in our day, man, you could go snatch a guy up, you know, and hold him accountable. I think it's a little different now, though.
Well, I'm telling you guys, we can talk for hours, because I do think that literally, you talk about hitting the nail on the head, and that's why, you know, when you get, I know I'm jumping sports here, but I got to get involved.
go ahead.
But when you get a Tom Brady, when you get a Brett Favre, when you get a Peyton Manning, when you get these players and QBs, and even on the defensive side, you know, Palomalo, when you get those kind of guys that have leadership, yes, vocal, but almost by example, and first one there, last one to leave, and that kind of stuff. The intangible, it literally is the MasterCard commercial. It's priceless.
Right.
And so when you're dealing with college-age kids and Barnes, and he knows he has the talent, and the recruiter's in there, and everything's jiving, and the support, and the fan base, and all that put together, if you don't have the guy with 2 minutes to go on the clock who on the court calls his team together and literally says, guys, it's put up or shut up at times, and sort of pulls it together, you're going to lose ball games after year after year, in my opinion.
And that's what's so interesting. Rhett and I were having that conversation. Ron got in on a little bit, too. In your world of just so many levels of get to the top or just get in the show. Like, a lot of guys get to the top, but on the way there, you got to get to the show. Just what was your mindset as far as walking into the ring, the big show, the TV-produced show? Because we're coming up on draft season right now, and a lot of guys are going to have their feelings crushed because they either won't be picked or they'll get picked and never play again. What was that process like for you as a guy who's an athlete that had to go through processes to get to the top also?
Wow, good question. So for 7 years, I worked, we'll call it, in my family's promotion that we alluded to earlier.
Yeah.
I wrestled out in Texas. I wrestled in Puerto Rico and Japan. Wow. But in 93 is when Vince McMahon gave me the call. But 2 years before that, WCW, for your wrestling fans, they came calling. And you know, at that time, my dad, you know, to this day, he's my mentor, but he's like, you're not ready. And man, that was a real ego booster. But when I got there in 93 and hit the scene and the Double J thing took off, I knew that I had the internal confidence. And I do think my biggest battle, and I've lost almost every argument that I've had with myself. And that can be a detriment. But if you go into a mindset and the mental attitude, and know that you belong there, and not just BS yourself, but you really believe it.
Yeah.
I think the mental aspect, and look, we're all athletes, and we've all talked about this, and we've heard coaches tell us this, and mentors, and all that. But man, you've got to do the work. If you don't do the work, you can't lie to yourself. Your body knows. We know everything about it. But if you've done the work and are prepared and have the right frame of mind, and you're not hanging around a bunch of turkeys, you're hanging soaring with those eagles. And we are the sum total of the five people that we, you know, just all those things that go with it. I had that mindset, and I believe I've had my ups and downs personally and professionally throughout life. But knowing that I am not afraid to roll up my sleeves and do the hard work, that's the internal confidence that really, to me, pushes us through.
That's voice you hear, if it's familiar to you, it's because it's WWE and TNA Wrestling Hall of Famer Jeff Jarrett, who this month he's celebrating his 35th anniversary of getting into the business.
Yeah.
And that's why nobody, he's talking about the work. That's because he worked his rear end off.
Yeah.
And to have that good a career. There's another reason you're here with us this morning on J. Martin Ramon, Jeff, and that is you got a new podcast that's going to drop, I believe, May the 4th, but it's called My World with Jeff Jarrett, correct?
Yeah, and that's something that, look, I'd much rather talk hoops with Ron, but I got to take care, as they say, pay the bills.
That's right.
My World, May the 4th be with you, but it drops May 4th. We just announced it this past Monday, the day after WrestleMania. It went top of the charts in the wrestling, most downloads is just as far as subscriptions. Mm. So we're off and running. I've never been a guy that's another thing that if we want to go back into our further comments we had, I've never liked to look in the rearview mirror. What good is it going to do? Mm-hmm. Yes, you can watch game tape and game film, but after you digest that and you athletes know, you know, once you get it in, leave that game in the past, because it literally, I don't care if you won by 30 or got beat like a drum by 30. It doesn't do you anything good to except learn from it and move on. So, but to flip the switch, Conrad Thompson's my co-host. He has a podcast. He has a family of podcasts. Eric Bischoff, Tony Schiavone, Jim Ross, Kurt Angle, and Bruce Prichard's what he all started with. But we start, and they're going to be dropping every Tuesday, May 4th. Guys, I am in the family. Westwood One is our distributor, which is a subsidiary of Cumulus. So,
that's correct.
Now, me and Jonathan are co-workers, so if you guys don't put out a good show, expect your pink slips, and I'm going to be slipping in the back door, and I'll be.
I was going to say, he'll have a guitar in hand.
There you go.
Smash. That's right. And you got news dropping on Bruce Prichard's podcast,
yes,
too, right?
Thank you, sir. Yes. So today, Something to Wrestle With, it's an award-winning podcast. I mean, like over a million downloads a month. A week. It's just insane, but highly, highly successful. And the format's really cool that there are no guests. It's literally talking about WrestleManias and all kinds of events that have happened over the last 20, 30 years. For a wrestling fan, even if you're a casual or a lapsed fan, it's a great format. But on today's Something to Wrestle With, Bruce and Conrad, it's the Jeff Jarrett episode. They're talking about my career in the WWE. And I'm making a cameo today. So if you listen to it today, I drop in, I don't know, 8 or 9 times during the podcast to talk about Bruce's comments and Conrad's comments on me. So a lot of fun. I'm in the podcast world. Very, very excited. I told on an interview last night, and you guys can relate this from locker rooms. We've all talked trash in the locker room about a story, some permissible on air, some not permissible on air. But we always tell stories in locker rooms. So I've told stories in locker rooms for 30 years, never in public, and probably rightly so. But now we get the opportunity to tell these stories, the ins and outs, the ups and downs. And a lot of things is what really happened. And you guys know that if you've had a great win, the guy who scores the most points might not have been the most important piece of that puzzle.
Yeah.
Or something that happened 2 days before in practice where two guys slug it out and they were fighting each other on the field in practice, and then we got the game. They came together and won. So those kind of stories that any sports fan or wrestling fan can relate to, that's what we're going to dive into.
And I was explaining to Ron Slay and to Ramon Foster who Bruce Prichard is. And of course, if you're a wrestling nut, you know exactly who he is. But I said, you remember the character back in the 80s, Brother Love? I said, that is Bruce Prichard. I said, but he's way more than that. And he's had huge success with that Something to Wrestle With podcast. We're just thrilled that you're with us and that you're going to have this podcast dropping. My World with Jeff Jarrett, talking about stories from the road and the locker room. You've seen it and done it all pretty much, my friend.
I just subscribed to it right then and there.
There you go.
Tapping in.
Subscribe, rate.
I'm going to do my part.
Yeah.
Ramon, for a Steeler, you're not a bad guy.
The old backhanded compliment right there.
I love it. There it goes right there. Okay, just don't bring your guitar when we meet, okay?
Well, he just hit you with an air guitar right there.
Hey, Double J, before you get out of here, man, let me tell you, what you guys meant to me, and especially I was telling Rhett this, especially knowing that you were from here, a lot of people watch me play. So I just want you to know, when I fall down on the ground and all of that comes from wrestling as a little kid growing up on that. Well, it was wrestling.
With an A.
Yeah, wrestling.
Yeah.
Not no wrestling. It was wrestling. So, hey, man, dude, all of my antics, all of that is because deep down inside, I wanted to be a football player and a wrestler.
Yeah.
So,
let me just give this, and I know Jonathan's probably saying that he's breaking the pencil 15,000 times in there. We got
to
go.
No, not yet.
No,
not
we're
yet.
Good. We're good.
I can actually vouch for him.
I have said this very, very often in interviews. What professional athletes make the best wrestlers? Look, I've been in the ring with Mongo McMichael, and that dude is one of the – and his quickness, so it's bizarre. I've been in the ring with Kurt Angle, obviously, Olympic gold medalist wrestler, so football player. But Dennis Rodman, Karl Malone, guys that you probably wouldn't realize had a background in basketball. Basketball players, by far, make the best transition because we know how to take charges. We know how to dance. If you don't have good footwork on the basketball court, you're lost. You ain't gonna get out of church ball. But if you've got good footwork, and that's like wrestling, you got to sort of have somewhat of a physical dance and know how to take those charges and know how to take a guy's head off with a block but not mm-hmm. get called for it. So all kinds of things like that. So, Slay, that's why we see eye to eye.
Hey, man, that is,
those two buffoons beside you think football is the end all.
Oh, wow. That's what I'm talking about, Double J. Okay. 2-2 match coming.
We're going to go say, we're about to put up a 15-foot-high steel cage in the Zone Studios, and it's a three-way terror match.
I love it. Double J, talk trash. I'm out here in Hendersonville, so I can talk trash.
Double J, that's my neck of the woods right there, okay? I want you to know, okay, my trash talking, all right, it's a mix of – I like to think I'm a nice guy, but when you cross those lines, Double J, it's a different animal you're trying to meet over here. And you talking about the football players not being good about something, meet me on Long Hollow Pike is all I'm telling you.
Listen, Ramon, look, you've grown up watching wrestling. You know who I'm bringing with me.
Yes.
Your brother.
I know.
Your brother's on my side.
Ron Slay turns heel. Here we go.
Exactly. And also, you can get my brother out of Louisville, too, Renardo.
I'm not talking about Slay. I'm talking about your brother.
I love it. Jay, that is awesome, man. That is friggin' phenomenal. Oh, I got to ask you this because we sent this out, too. Is Schaefer giving us the break? Are we breaking?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. Brett brought up something earlier today, and he just dropped it like it was nothing. I said the person I saw in person, the person I saw in real life was like Suge Knight. I was just like
– That you were starstruck over.
I was starstruck by, like, and I'm not going to say anything because I was just stuck in my place. This guy, Rhett, tells me he played ping pong with Carlos Santana. Okay.
Well, I'm an old classic rock DJ, and back in the old KDF days, and Jeff Jarrett knows about KDF. It was a great preeminent rock station. We had a house show at Starwood Amphitheater with Carlos Santana, and we had backstage because we were staff, and he had a ping pong table back there, and he played, and he beat the pants off me.
So to that
point, what a nice man.
To that point, who is somebody that you've met, and you're a Hall of Famer, okay, and I just got to throw that out there, but who's somebody that you've met that just made you stop walking and just look?
The first thing that comes to my mind, and maybe the reason I'm saying this, but I'm staring across the way at this photo in my office. So, look, I'm a basketball junkie. Me and Kevin Nash used to talk about we'll stay up till 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. back in the day, and we'll watch a crappy Portland play, a crappy L.A., whatever.
Sacramento.
Exactly. We would watch any basketball game. But that being said, I did an appearance and signed autographs and all this kind of stuff at the Indianapolis Pacers game. Hmm. And when I tell you that I went in I could go down the roster, but all of a sudden around the corner, and Ron, I know you're going to relate to this, but for me, I'm short, couldn't jump, and all that, but point guard, and you can imagine this, around the corner walked Isaiah Thomas.
Wow, that is good for me.
Him playing in Indiana and the Bobby, I'm a huge Bobby Knight fan, but you know, his style of coaching and play, and he just won. But Isaiah and then the Bad Boys at the Pistons, I was like, wow, dude, that's Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
And then of course, in my business, when people come up to me, they have a certain line that they'll say at different wrestlers. And I said the same thing. I looked at Isaiah and I go, wow, he's small.
Jeff Jarrett,
he's around a bunch of 6'8 guys.
Exactly.
And,
sure.
But you know, in context. But no, guys like that. Larry Bird. The first time I met him, look, you know, Living Larry. I mean, Legend Larry, Prince Lick, all that. Yeah. It was always when I would see a basketball player. Karl Malone. First time I met him, I was out in Vegas one time. Walked around a slot machine and literally. Shaq could have taken a charge to me because I bumped into him. But looking up at him, any former basketball player, I've just got so much. I'm always amazed because I would tell anybody, dude, go watch a pro basketball game and sit courtside.
Yeah. Right.
You have no idea how good an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just, Ron, I apologize, but I'm putting you basketball players over, not like those clods that you're sitting next to.
Nothing wrong with it. We accept it.
Double J, your podcast, My World with Jeff Jarrett, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Drop May 4th, every Tuesday, My World, and all of my socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and we just launched a website. It's all at Real Jeff Jarrett, realjeffjarrett.com or at Real Jeff Jarrett.
Thanks for joining us, man.
JeffJarrett.
That's it. Hey, you're the best, man. Appreciate you coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me, guys. Talk soon. Y'all have a great day.
All right. WWE Hall of Famer Jeff Jarrett right there. We're going to wrap up Hour 4 and the show. J. Martin Ramon, it's next on 104.5 The Zone.